This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I don't think the reopening is what's driving the current Southern expansion right now. If you look at the South, everything happened around June 12th to June 16th. So independent of whether you reopened or didn't reopen, we're of the view that there was something else that was the driver. Maybe the Memorial Day, not weekend, but the Memorial Day week, where a lot of Northerners decided to go south for vacations.
I knew it.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
These are not people. These are animals. The President of the United States.
We've just concluded a historic operation leading to the arrest and indictment of dozens of savage MS-13 members. MS-13, a vile and evil gang of people. We will not allow these animals to terrorize our communities, and my administration will not rest until every member of MS-13 is brought to justice. These animals, savage, vile, and evil.
What's that about?
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Backlash for Nick Cannon after these controversial comments on his podcast, Cannon's Class.
People that don't have it are a little less. These people who didn't have what we have, they had to be savages. They're the ones that are actually closer to animals.
Viacom-CBS announcing they are cutting ties with the comedian.
Unchained and unstoppable.
I don't think we should be defunding police departments. I think we should hold police departments responsible.
They don't know anybody. They become the enemy. They're supposed to be protecting these people.
But do we agree that we can redirect some of the funding?
Yes, absolutely.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Welcome to the Howie Carr Show. If you'd like to join us today, the number, as always, is 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Usually I like to start off with a monologue in the first segment, but we only had a chance to get this next guest on at this time. So I wanted to have him on, and you just heard Rush was playing some cuts from him from an earlier interview today. And he's just a really, really smart guy, and he's taken a lot of heat, these crazy interviews from the panic purveyors on mainstream media. I'm talking about Dr. Scott Atlas. He's a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, Stanford University, and he's, shall we say, a skeptic about the pandemic, and he thinks the school should reopen. And I think that's really a big question here as we go through the summer. And so thank you very much for being with us today on the Howie Carr Show, Dr. Scott Atlas.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. I just want to make it clear. I'm not a skeptic about the pandemic. I'm trying to make sure that we understand the data as the truth,
right,
and make rational public policies based on the facts and not fear.
Right. Excuse me. You're a skeptic about some of the reactions and the coverage in the mainstream media to what's been going on to the virus itself.
That's right.
So, I keep going back to every day, the Massachusetts Department of Public Health comes out with a list of deaths, a chart, and every day there's a number of things that don't change, but one of them is the number of people dead under the age of 20 in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and it's zero. It's zero, and it never changes, and that's pretty much the way it is for the entire country, is it not?
Well, I mean, if you look at the overall data for the country, 99.97% of deaths in the U.S. that are analyzed by the CDC are people over 15 and over, and 99.9% of deaths are people over 24. When you look at New York City, they had something like 18,707 deaths as of yesterday that are analyzed. 0.07% are under 18, 13, and only one child, one person under 18 in New York City, only one had no significant underlying abnormality. And when a child has a significant abnormality, they're not talking about, oh, there's mild high blood pressure. I mean, that's not insignificant in a child. So there's one child out of 18,700 deaths in New York City that has died that is healthy in from COVID-19. And again, not to bore you with details, but
no, please, you're not.
Zero. Yeah, okay. Zero people under 18 have died in California. And comparing that to something else, which is more dangerous to children, and that is influenza. In 2017-18 in California, 5.4% of the flu fatalities were in people under 18. The most recent estimate of flu deaths in the last full season with an estimate by the CDC is that there are 600 children that have died from the flu, whereas, again, only 30, according to the CDC, have died from COVID-19.
So I'm going to draw a conclusion that it's crazy not to reopen the schools in the fall.
Well, I mean, there's, this is the point here, is that there is no problem about the scientific consensus here, because it's not a matter of consensus, really. It's a matter of all the data in the world says the following things. Number one, there is minimal, if any, risk of a serious illness to children, of death to children. There is very minimal risk of a serious illness to children, particularly markedly less than the flu. JAMA Pediatrics, 46 pediatric hospitals. In North America, there's a far greater risk of critical illness from influenza than from COVID-19 for children, unquote. There are less, much lower risk of hospitalization from COVID-19 than flu, according to the CDC, for children. This is all over the world. And the second thing that's all over the world is that there is a small a risk of transmission from children to any adult, including their own parents. And this is not something that is that controversial. It shouldn't be controversial to say it. It's shown by data in Germany, France, the Netherlands, Sweden, Switzerland, Australia, the United Kingdom, Canada, Ireland. I mean, I could go on.
We're the only England. Country in the world that's not reopened, that's talking in at least many areas about not reopening schools, correct?
Every one of the countries I just named is opening the schools. They have not had problems. They have compared their own data to countries that didn't open the schools. They've compared their experiences when they've reopened the schools. It is simply unfounded in science. It is contrary to science. Now, the real question, if I may go on, is that the people who are saying there should be closure to schools are missing, they're saying it out of fear for the teachers. Well, we just said there's a very low risk of transmission, and we know that if there are teachers that are high risk, which there are, even though it's a very young profession, by
right.
the way, I mean, 82% of teachers are under 55 and half are under 41. If you have a high-risk teacher, they can either do social distancing, which they must believe that masks and social distancing work. I'm sure they believe it because they do other essential business, I'm sure. But if they are still afraid to do their jobs, as I understand that, they should have the option to teach from home. That has nothing to do with locking out the children, because the second big thing that is never talked about and must never be underemphasized is the severe harms to children for locking down the schools.
Right.
We know that children learn worse from distance learning. That's shown already. 50% drop in math, 30% drop in reading. It's not a substitute. 20 to 40 or maybe more percent of children don't even log on. So that's a fraud to say distance learning is acceptable. But worse than that, most of the stuff that kids learn at school, as any of us parents would know, and any educator must know, is the social interaction, the group work, the group conflict resolution, physical activity, being with their friends. This is normal maturation. You're not going to get that online. That's obvious.
Dr. Atlas,
schools are where we find out.
I don't know if you heard this today, but the governor of Oklahoma, he's in his 40s. He tested positive. And it's being treated in some parts of the media like this is some kind of major story. And I thought to myself, Governor Hogan of Maryland 5 years ago came down with a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I mean, that's an often fatal disease. And that didn't get any national publicity. He recovered. And then he came down with skin cancer 2 years ago. He recovered. No national publicity. And now he's going to run for president in 2024. And yet it's, you know, but because it's a governor and a Republican governor coming down with this, this is being treated with, you know, like it's the end of the world. And I just, why do you think the media is acting this way? That's my lead up to that question. Why is the media portraying this as apocalypse now?
You know, I want to be polite and just ascribe it to fear. A complete ignorance is really part of it. Hysteria on the basis of we're living in an era of hyperbole, and I don't know. It's hard to ascribe and understand why irrational people say what they say. This is completely irrational to say the schools should be closed. And by the way, I just want to make a point about the schools because this is very important. This is much worse, much more destructive to middle class and lower income families. The affluent people are going to be able to educate their kids somehow. They'll get a tutor. They'll buy iPads. They'll do all kinds of things. Meantime, we don't talk about the harms of, what about the child abuse that's skyrocketing?
Right.
35% increase in serious child abuse. And the number one agency to report child abuse, by the way, is the schools. It's estimated that 215,000 cases of child abuse were not reported because the schools were closed for March and April alone. I mean, this is a heinous, heinous policy here. If you don't believe that schools are an essential business in this country, then what is? If you don't believe that our mission as a country is to educate our children, if you don't believe that, this is a critical part of the function, then, you know, frankly, you ought to step aside and let somebody else teach. Because we can accommodate the teachers who are high risk. We can accommodate the teachers who are afraid to come in. That's okay. I understand that. But you cannot shut down the schools when there's no risk to children. And we are destroying the future of the country with this sort of stuff.
Yeah. I just say one last stat I read today in The Guardian, an English left-wing newspaper. Three times as many people have died from opioid overdoses in West Virginia than from COVID this year. Three times. And this is a left-wing newspaper reporting this in the UK. I mean, the stats.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, go ahead.
I could tell you another stat is that the suicide hotline calls are increased by 300 to 900%. Okay, this is depression. And by the way, you know, suicide is one of the biggest causes of death in people who are under 24 in the United States, yeah. Normally.
Yeah.
Okay, when you have that kind of stuff, you really have, it's really unacceptable to not prioritize the children's health here. This is an example of people who, frankly, by their actions, do not care about the children by definition, because it's contrary to all the science. Like I said this morning, it's not okay to sit there and say it's all about the science and then do everything of your actions contrary to the science.
I know. I just heard you that.
I don't know why they can do that.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Scott Atlas from Stanford University, from the Hoover Institution. We really love having you on the show. Hope to have you on the show again and keep going on all those morning shows and giving it to them because we really enjoy it. Thank you, Dr. Scott Atlas. I'm Howie Carr.
He didn't come here to be made sport of. Howie Carr.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
This is Officer Mark calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Seals and Croft? Wow, this is a new one. No, it's not. You just dragged it up from the past.
No, it's been there.
It has?
You've never noticed it.
I've never noticed it. I'd rather have Artie Shaw than Seals and Croft, actually. 844. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. There's enough breaks. We can put in any kind of stuff we want.
I've got a hiatus coming up, so I'm going to try to go through a few songs to get into rotation.
Oh, that'd be good. Thank you. 844-500-4242. Sometimes I do that stuff when I'm listening to 70s or 80s music. But lately I've been listening to, I got a great radio, I'll tell you about it later, 1940s UK radio. You're never going to listen to anything else again after you find that one, Taylor. I'll tell you. All right. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Good thing Roman makes treating erectile dysfunction simple, safe, and from the comfort of your own home. Get a free online evaluation today at GetRoman.com/Howie. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of erectile dysfunction treatment. GetRoman.com/Howie. And we have a question that's based on another interview that's from the head of the Centers for Disease Control, Dr. Robert Redfield. And I don't think this is getting a lot of play on CNN and MSNBC because it can't be blamed on the Republican governors in the red states. But why don't we play this cut 27 before?
Although I don't think the reopening is what's driving the current southern expansion right now. It's very interesting that if you look at all the states across the south, if you look at the northeast when we had it, it was here, then here, then here, then here. If you look at the south, everything happened around June 12th to June 16th. It all simultaneously kind of popped. So independent of whether you reopened, didn't reopen, when you reopened. So we're of the view that there was something else that was the driver. Maybe the Memorial Day, not weekend, but the Memorial Day week, where a lot of Northerners decided to go south for vacations.
Huh. So it wasn't the fault of the Trump rallies. It wasn't the fault of the greed-crazed Republican governors like Kemp and DeSantis and Abbott. It was the Northerners fleeing their crumbling blue states. So what's the poll question and what are the results?
Was the coronavirus surge caused by reopenings?
No, it was not. It was caused by damn Yankees.
91% say no.
Okay. 844-500-4242. You know what's really being hit hard is Arizona. And, Biden.
My kind of town, Arizona.
That's right. You got time on the way out? Okay, we'll play when we come back. We're going to take a lot of calls in the next segment. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And we're going to take some calls here in these next couple of segments. And it was good to have Dr. Atlas on as our first interview. A couple of the texters want to know how they can get to that 1940s UK radio station. And I'm going to, against my better judgment, I'm going to tweet out the address.
And a nightingale sang in Berkeley Square.
I'm only going to do it on one condition, and that you agree not to listen to it between the hours of 3 and 7 Eastern Daylight Time.
Does that include me?
Yes, that includes everybody. And somebody said, I like those stations where they give you the Greenwich Mean Time, and this is one of those stations. Yes, but anyway, we're going to tweet out the address. 844-500-4242. 508 says Rush did a whole segment on the fake numbers out of Florida on the COVID-19 test. Yeah, we mentioned it yesterday too. The story broke yesterday. That there's a number of facilities that are coming up with fake numbers. One was reporting 76%. It was actually 7.6%. Oh, only off by a factor of 10. Another had it at 98%. 98% were testing positive. and it was 9%. And it was 9%. It was ridiculous. 844-500-4242. But we did want to talk about it. Arizona is one of the places where there's an alleged hotspot. Why is Arizona a hotspot? Because there's a Republican governor. And they're trying to get rid of Martha McSally, a Rhode Island native, who's the senator down there. She's running against some moonbat who's like big in the city. She's big in the outlying areas, and so they're trying to get rid of her. So they're making so Arizona has become a hotspot because they have a Republican senator who's imperiled, and they have a Republican governor. So Biden was doing an interview. One of these interviews from the basement with an anchor at one of the local channels, local TV news outlets, I think in Phoenix. So let's just play that here. Cut.
We're joined now by former Vice President and presumptive Democratic nominee Joe Biden. Good to see you, sir. And look, Arizona is very much in play in 2020. So we appreciate you taking some time to talk to the people of our state.
Oh, it's an important city. You guys are going through hell right now, aren't you?
More and more, he reminds me of Mumbles Menino. Remember Mumbles Menino? They about the snow removal capabilities in the state of Philadelphia, and how the Christmas tree was arriving from one of the provinces of Canada.
Okay, which one of the East Coast states got hit the hardest?
I think Philadelphia had got hit the hardest.
You know, the thing is, though, Mumbles was just tongue-tied. Joe's got a more serious problem up above his tongue, if you know what I mean. Oh, boy. Okay. And we've got some other cuts to play here. But let's just play the cut five just as a tease for later on. Cut five.
He said he was going to fight for the forgotten man. As soon as he got elected, he forgot the forgotten man. He talked about building infrastructure and creating jobs. This is all before the virus.
If you're going to accuse somebody else of forgetting the forgotten man, probably you should try not to forget the name of the virus. But again, he's had problems all along with that. He called it the Wuhan virus. Remember that? And then he referred to his own extinguished public service in fighting the N1H1 virus, as he called it. That's not its name, of course, but hey. All right. Okay, I'm just going to go with one more. Cut seven.
I believe we have an opportunity not only to climb out of this awful hole, but to start building back better with the kind of economy we need for the future.
That Trump, he's only concerned about the economy. Joe Biden is going to fight to restore the McConomy.
Building back better with the kind of economy we need for the future.
We got more of this stuff. I'm saving it for later on, though. I'm saving it for later on. 844-500-4242. It's getting to the point now where I can't transcribe some of the stuff because it just is mumbling. And Taylor listens to it over and over again. I listen to it over and over again. Grace listens to it. We have
arguments on air about what he said.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like the Jill and the Joe Biden thing. I'm still staying by Joe Biden. I got to remember that for my next call. Anyway, the Joe Biden thing. I'm Joe Biden. I'm the husband of Joe Biden. Oh, okay. Okay. We knew Paula Morphy was coming in Somerville anyway, but we didn't know you could marry yourself. What do you call that? Unimongi? I don't even know. Isn't Joe Biden also interested in economic intercourse? Yes, he is.
Let me already indicate it. I'm Joe Biden's husband, Joe Biden.
Okay. At this point, I don't think we want to talk about Joe Biden's interest in economic intercourse, do we?
When he says, I'm Joe Biden, Joe Biden's husband, does he mean his wife or his sister?
That's another point. These are eternal mysteries.
Maybe he thinks he's his wife or his sister.
These are sorrowful mysteries, I believe is the term in the Catholic Church. There are several different kinds of mysteries and I can't remember them all at this point. 844-500-4242. Sue, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, I'm glad you had Dr. Atlas on. I've been listening to him for the last 3 months. He's the only sane one that's been out there talking. The other thing is you can't see a mask in sight up here in northern Maine. I can't tell you what town I'm in, but because Janet Mills will send out the Gestapo.
The snitch line, you know, you've got a snitch line up there just like we've got a snitch line down here. Yeah, though, you're right.
Sandra Smith was absolutely appalling to Dr. Atlas. I stopped taping her when they fired Ed Henry. And so I don't watch Sandra Smith anymore. You watch her on these interviews. She hates the Republicans. She hates Trump, and she loves the Democrats. Anyway, that's my 2 cents. Oh, America's Voice. People, turn on America's Voice. That's a great station now.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Sue. 844-500-4242. Yeah, he's been on with a lot of people that have just gotten back in his face, and they just don't know what they're talking about. I just don't understand the concern that people who are not in specific risk groups have about this, and why they feel the need to shut down the entire economy. I also want to read when we're on with Newsmax. This amazing op-ed piece by Peter Navarro, the assistant to the president, the director of the Office of Trade and Manufacturing Policy. He's been in these task force meetings since day one, and he's talking about Dr. Fauci, and he says Dr. Fauci. You know, when you read this piece in USA Today that Navarro wrote, Fauci is kind of like to public health policies what Joe Biden is to foreign policy. He's seldom right, but he is never in doubt. Right up until the moment that he does a 180 and changes his entire policy. Like, for instance, on the masks. That's the one that we all remember because we have the audio tape. We don't have the audio, some of the audio tapes of his arguments behind closed doors, you know, for things that have now been totally repudiated by subsequent events. 844-500-4242.
I believe, for the most part, you can trust respected medical authorities. You know, I believe I'm one of them, so I think you can trust me.
You can trust Dr. Fauci. He's not like the others. When he tells you you don't have to wear a mask, you can believe it. Right up until the moment he tells you, you got to wear a mask. Phil, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Phil.
How you doing, Howie? I can't believe this. Mumbles, I remember Mumbles and Biden. Boy, I'll tell you, what a
Mumbles is back.
Make, huh? Oh, my God. And then I open the mail and I get one of these junk mail papers, you know,
yeah,
whatever it is. And right there is back to school supplies. Should I go get some or what? I don't know. The Democrats put this in.
You know what the new back to school supplies are? It's the cleaner for your computer screens, you know, for the kids. That's what it is. I don't know. That's a really good point. 619 reminds me too. You remember Dr. Fauci also was, I don't know who was interviewing him. He said it was okay to hook up with strangers on Tinder, right? Do we have that cut, or we may have a sound cut of that. Yeah. Oh, it's up to you. It's up to you. Do what you want to do, but shaking hands. Hey, no way, Jose, no shaking hands, but, you know, unsafe sex with somebody you met online. That's okay. That's all right.
If you're swiping on a dating app like Tinder or Bumble or Grindr and you match with someone and you just kind of like, maybe it's fine if this one stranger comes over, what do you say to that person?
You know, everybody has their own tolerance for risks, and it depends on the level of the interaction that you want to have. You're looking for a friend, sit in a room, put a mask on, and, you know, chat a bit. If you want to go a little bit more intimate, well, then that's your choice regarding a risk.
Oh, Oh, okay. Okay. Can we quote you on that, doctor? Jim, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Howie, how you doing?
Good.
Wait a minute. Let me put my mask on first, because AOC says...
We all have to take our own risk. We all have our own risk level, Jim. Go ahead.
I hope you're wearing your mask now.
Yeah, you can trust me. I'm not like the others. I'm wearing a mask.
All right.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you, this dinosaur was going through his CDs today. You know what a CD is, right?
I sure do. Yes.
Yeah. And one of these CDs I dug up was Winning the Culture, and I encourage your audience to, it's 20 minutes long, and also you. It's a very powerful speech. It's called Winning the Cultural War, Political Correctness. And who gave it? Charlton Heston, out of all places, Harvard University in 1999.
Mm.
Now, you think Charlton Heston would be invited there now?
No. No way, Jim. No way. I don't think John F. Kennedy would be invited to Harvard right now. He actually stomped out of a meeting at Harvard University, some kind of, I don't know what it was, a lecture or something. The professor spoke badly of Senator Joe McCarthy, and Jack Kennedy started screaming and then stomped out of the lecture. Things have changed. Things have changed a lot. Thanks for the call, Jim. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show.
This is Deb in Danielson, Connecticut.
This is Greg in Boston, Mass.
This is Elizabeth in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Well, Donald Trump is actually violating the law as he stands on our tarmac without a mask. The city of Atlanta owns and operates Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport, the busiest in the world. And in Atlanta, in our city-controlled assets, we have a mandate that you should have on a mask.
Is that the mayor of Atlanta? Keisha Lance Bottoms. I think she was in the running for a while until that disaster in Atlanta with the Hardys, the cops shooting that guy, and then him being indicted for the cop being indicted for murder by the district attorney who was in a runoff after losing the first round of the primary election. I mean, just. They're all getting dusted up, you know, one way or another. You know, Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, although she was probably a bit of an underdog, being a white woman when it promised he was going to have a person of color as the candidate. And then, of course, there was Elizabeth Warren. She would have loved to have gone back to being an Indian for a while, but I just don't think that was in the cards. And being promoted by Lawrence Lost Tribe was not the. He was not the guy to be promoting her because, you know, if it push had come to shove, I would have dragged up the old stories about the Commonwealth Day School, this black day school, this black private school that was on Brattle Street. And he was trying to get it thrown off along with some people from the Boston Globe and all these swells in Cambridge. They couldn't take having a little school with black children. It's NIMBY. 844-500-4242. We will tweet out the Scott Atlas interview. We can't get to it till 4 o'clock when the hour downloads, but we'll send it out. And we've already tweeted out the link to the British 40s radio station. 844-500-4242. Phil, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, thank you, Howie. I'm a long-time listener. I relocated from Massachusetts to San Diego, California, and it's a real pleasure to talk with you.
Thank
long
you.
Time, you know, this is all the time. Here's the thing. This is really good news. There is treatment for the coronavirus. It's a doctor in Texas, and what he's used is he uses a steroid-based treatment, which is like an inhaler type thing,
yeah.
And a nebulizer.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, there are all kind of, all these big big pharma companies that they're always trying to screw. They all seem to be on the verge of coming up with some kind of vaccine. But Phil, how are they going to get people to take the vaccine when they develop one?
Well, it's no. This is not a vaccine. This is a cure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure. Well, you've already got the hydroxychloroquine. That was another thing that wasn't Fauci against that too? I got to read you this whole column from Navarro. It's not even that long. 844-500-4242. I was wrong. The Atlanta cops shot that guy at the Wendy's, not at Hardee's. I'm sorry. I'm speaking ill of Hardee's, a good Southern chain. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.